Nil, Hot Garbage, By Divine Rights, Slaves of Spanky, Pony Girl, Tanya Iyer, Golden Feather, and so much more. Also make sure to check out all the free panels, workshops, a merch market, and the first ever Catarocway Punk Rock Flea Market. For more information on the lineup and tickets, visit kppconcerts.com or Spring Reverb YGK on socials. See you there.
What's going on? What are you doing? Tanya Dohaskigo, then on the Wadahun Sadaje, Ungahuan, and Hadiwanodas, and the Aboriginal Voices, Oscar Dewanyawa Oscar, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
You are tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM, and we're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. Washan story as Naminwa Anishnam Navi Nibwewin. I don't know, something funny. Anyway, Sean, Aboriginal Voices on this great day.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Yeah,
that's we have some technical difficulties here. Mine does seem to work. Well, now you turned it off.
And yours seems to work, too, for both of us. Anyway, we're going to have to do some funny movements because it says no service. Aboriginal Voices here at CFRC tonight, and it's been a busy day. Campus was very busy today. I don't know why. And we'll see how things go with what's happening. Today, May 5th, it's Red Dress Day right across the country. So we're going to find out what's happening there across the country. I have a special interview with the artist Jamie Black. So we're going to chat with her a little bit near the end of the second hour here on CFRC. So that's between 7:20 and 8 o'clock. Before that, John, we were talking a bit about what's happening with Four Directions Aboriginal Student Center here at Queen's, and they're carrying on. They're available for students who are still around, who need supports, and they do have their luncheons, like go in and make soup and you share. So, I don't know. I guess we're going to have to come up with a different plan. See what happens. Are we still on the air? There we go. What's going on? Oh, I know. You had a mishap with a telephone that jumped.
I didn't have anything the matter with it.
No.
It wasn't my fault.
None of it's our fault. No, we just live here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that telephone.
Then, yeah. Anyway, thank you for fixing that. It would be funny to go blow by blow description here of what you were doing, but you were fixing it from the other side.
I was looking for what was the problem, and it turns out it was right there in front of me.
Well, yeah, you just make sure it's plugged in right,
yeah.
And we're ready to go. So I was just saying that we are going to, in honor of Red Dress Day, people can't see it here, but we are definitely, no, I'm not wearing a red dress.
Me either.
But we are going to feature female Indigenous artists from across Canada.
Sounds good, Doug.
Okay, so for this hour and the next hour, the other thing that's really
now good. I'm told, Douglas, that yep. We had one yesterday, like a march,
mm-hmm.
A walk. I don't know what you would call it.
A parade.
Is parade right?
No. Well, you go on parade. That's a
parade,
work together.
And parade makes it seem as though it's a happy.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think they as an I love a parade. Isn't that the song?
So you
that's
did
the tune.
A collective walk?
Somebody, well, I didn't. There was a walk from one spot to the band office yesterday, and so many people, men, women, kids, all dressed in red.
Mm-hmm.
And they walked, and there was drum music from Mandy and group. Mandy and Crystal.
Were they hand drums?
Just one hand drum. No. You think a hand drum? It was more of it's a water drum, and Carlene.
Mm-hmm. So where they walk from?
I may have gotten that last one wrong.
So they walk from where to where?
They walked from the community center.
Mm-hmm.
And then they. There you go. That was it. I don't know what else to tell you.
Oh, okay.
That's what happened.
Did people put up a red dress anywhere? Or
what did I just get done telling you?
They wore
Everybody
red.
Wore red.
Okay.
Why do they got to put up a red dress?
Just to leave it so for people to see. It's like they did here on Queens
campus.
It's
not drumming and red people and, the walk. Is that not enough?
Well,
you didn't put
day.
Up a red dress, so you're not really
into it. I just asked if they had put one up because the other people coming by today or yesterday or the day before or the day after,
no,
they would see it.
No, why? Why?
Because
do that?
It would remind them.
So
why are we doing this?
Tonight in Belleville, hopefully the weather will hold out. There is yet another thing. And from what I heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, they're walking from City Hall, Belleville,
mm-hmm.
to Shannonville.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true
that's
or not.
That's a long walk.
Is that enough, Doug?
That's good. I like that.
Still no red dress.
No.
But is that enough?
That's good.
Okay.
I
don't know if that's true. I'm pretty sure that's. I'll look it up.
Okay.
In any case, thankful that folks are able to. I don't know if it's a silent, quiet protest walk or is it even a protest?
Well, no, it's an awareness walk.
An awareness walk. There you go. That's better than parade.
Mm-hmm.
So who we got up?
We're just getting ready to have all female Indigenous artists through the whole show, and the first one that I picked up is Tara Williamson. But you just said it, and I think I might like to switch it around. The song I picked is called Enough. And you just said that.
Okay, so that thing is starting at 6 o'clock.
Oh,
and
tonight?
Yeah, in Belleville.
Okay. It's on the way.
Doesn't really say where
it's
they're
about
8
minutes after right now. Almost 9 minutes after 6.
Looks like there's just under 100.
Wow.
Who have
volunteered.
Maybe this will be. No.
They're doing
doesn't
a walk.
Say. No. Doesn't say. Thanks for all of the information here, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll find it.
Okay.
Carry on, Doug. Play the song.
It's called Enough.
Doesn't hurt to breathe. the heartache and the grief I thought we had deep. You said I'd be okay. You said there would be enough, enough, enough for I heard you say, let me sleep, I need the rest, I think. The days are all the same. I wanna lay here and repeat your name. Touch me all the spots I miss. Your swirling subtle breath. I might not survive this. I thought we had a deal. You said I'd be okay. You said that there would be enough, enough, enough. Oh, I heard you say, but now they'll never.
Wouldn't it be great to eat gourmet food from some of Kingston's top chefs all in one place? Well, you can. If you attend Savor Spring, a culinary experience on Saturday, May 2nd, for an evening of exceptional food, local talent, and community spirit that will make a meaningful impact for students across KFLNA. Savor Spring, a culinary experience, brings together six of Kingston's standout chefs for an immersive dining event supporting the Food Sharing Project, a local charity that ensures local students have full access to nutritious breakfast, lunch, and snacks at school. Guests will enjoy interactive stations from Aquaterra, Baja Craft Kitchen, Bella Bistro, Kudo Catering, Crave Coffee House, and Days on Front, along with a welcome cocktail, raw bar, local wine, live music, and a silent auction. It's a rare chance to experience the creativity of six local restaurants under one roof while supporting students in the community. We are so proud to be part of Savor Spring, a night where Kingston's best kitchens come together for something bigger than food, says Chef Chris Kudo of Kudo Catering. That's the vision we stand behind. Good food, real impact, one table. Tickets are on sale now and going fast. Visit foodsharingproject.org/savorspring to grab yours today.
Live music fans, get ready. Spring Reverb returns for its fifth edition May 28th through the 31st in downtown Kingston, Ontario, and CFRC is thrilled to be part of the action. Over 4 days, you can catch live music panels, workshops, and see what makes the Kingston music scene tick. Get ready for acts like Bedouin Soundclash, The Dirty Nil, Hot Garbage, By Divine Rights, Slaves of Spanky, Pony Girl, Tanya Iyer, Golden Feather, and so much more. Also, make sure to check out all the free panels, workshops, a merch market, and the first ever Cataraqui Punk Rock Flea Market. For more information on the lineup and tickets, visit kppconcerts.com or springreverbygk on socials. See you there.
I'm here to tell you to come to our Sistema Kingston year-end concert. It's on May 14th at 4:30 p.m. It's admission with donation.
We will be performing at the Isabel Bader Center.
You'll hear strings, orff instruments, and lots of singing.
Hope to see you all there.
Hey, hey, hey! You want to kick the summer heat and get a nice treat? Don't hesitate to make a date to visit Old Farm Fine Foods. Pizza, frittata, sausage rolls, sandwiches, soups, and more are ready and waiting to get in your belly. Plus, you can also buy fresh and frozen food to prepare at home. Pop into the shop Monday through Sunday between 8 to 6 at 204 Berry Street. And don't forget to follow Old Farm Fine Foods on Instagram at oldfarmff to get the scoop on the latest goodies. Old Farm Fine Foods, comfort food you can count on.
Okay, Sean.
Okay, Doug.
Yes, I was just we were trying to figure out where we're going with this tonight.
So there is a Shannon's Dream scholarship that's... So the Shannon's Dream Scholarship is an award to assist First Nations youth with post-secondary education costs, i.e. university, college, trades, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. With the support of our funders, we are able to announce two $10,000 scholarships for 2026. This is where you're supposed to say, but what is the criteria?
Okay. So what do I need to know about getting in and applying for it?
No, you need to say criteria.
What's that? What's the criteria?
So open to First Nations youth, 30 years old and under, must be enrolled in a post-secondary program. At a Canadian institution and returning for the fall in 2026. Considerations criteria. One, the recipient must contribute to their First Nations community and demonstrate academic...
We have a special guest back in our studio.
Thanks, Doug.
Sorry.
I didn't point at you. I didn't say, okay, let's do the trees now.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Keep All going. Right. No, apparently no. Shannon's dream is over.
No. Well, no. Maybe it fits in.
No, I have nothing else more to say.
Oh, there's one other thing.
No,
the
there
AMO.
Isn't.
Yeah, you went by it there.
What is that?
AMO.
That person
yes.
again?
No.
This
that,
again?
Yeah, that again.
What? Indigenous representation in local government matters.
If you
have the time and energy, you can check it out tomorrow, May the 6th, between 6:30 and 8:30. And it is on, I don't know, AMO.com?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
No. They don't even have a link to it. What good is that?
Well, there should be, because I...
No, there I went, isn't. There's
I
no
went
link.
To it.
Oh, is that down here, too? No, that isn't.
No,
it.
No. You go back to where it was. There. No, click on it. The whole thing. There you go.
Why did you do it?
Well, because I don't know. I didn't.
Getting handsy.
I didn't know that you're...
So it's amo.on.ca. So check that out. And maybe you have aspirations...
Right.
Of becoming a public official.
And the other part that I'm thinking of is that all those people here at Queens who are at a conference here at Queens in the Institute for Intergovernmental Studies.
Maybe.
That would be a good place to go and find out what is happening. You may not want to run right now, but you can see what's available for all the people who might like to run for local politics.
Maybe you would like to brandish the power of a reeve.
Oh, there you go. Or a mayor.
I wouldn't say mayor.
Well, because they...
First time out, mayor?
Yeah, a counselor?
Possibly a counselor.
There you go. Okay. But it gives you a sense of what's involved.
Prime minister, they...
Oh, well, now that's... You're really going for the wrong side of the fat track there.
It couldn't do any worse than the ones I got in there now. Anyways,
yes.
On that note, if you do feel that you want to be in public office?
Yes.
Check these people out. They'll help you out with how to set up your campaign, your... platform, your soapbox, so to speak.
Yeah, but also how to run a campaign. So in terms of getting other people to help
you. So what you do is get a bunch of money from some group.
Do you know what?
That wants to build a train.
Oh. Yeah, and then
you make it easy for them to do,
uh-huh.
Or at least try to make it easy for them to do.
They can support you and see if you...
And then they'll give you a bunch of money in your back pocket.
Mm. Speaking of trains, did you hear what the first corridor from Montreal to Ottawa is going to have an impact on
nothing. That's what they're saying.
No, it came
all
out,
those people's
it came
homes.
Out today.
It's going to go right through their house.
No, the farms.
Right through their farms.
Yeah.
May as well be the houses then.
No.
Yeah.
Listen, when I was a young guy, not quite out of university, I was going to go and buy a farm and do cow-calf operation for the rest of my life.
Just so that later
hang on,
some guy wants to build a giant fast train.
No.
Take it away from you.
You took it away from me.
Yeah,
it wasn't
take
a train. I had a farm already set up, they organized, did all the paperwork, found out what it was going to cost for everything. Farm credit said, oh, that's a great, this is really good.
Good, you can do this.
Here you go. And then they came back a week later and said, sorry, do you know what's wrong? And they pulled out a map, and they showed me a map. Here's your farmhouse, there's the kitchen door, and that's the end of one of the runways for the Pickering Airport.
Pickering.
Is there an airport in Pickering?
No. No, there is not.
Well, that's why. How many years would that be?
But story. Mm-hmm. Wendy and I like to take the road less traveled sometimes.
Oh, okay.
More so Wendy than me. But we go out. And we travel down these roads that I don't think anybody's traveled in years. And we went down, I think it was north of 7.
Mm. That's beautiful country.
I'm sure it is.
Trees and rocks and water.
It is, yeah. But maybe not. Maybe it was south of 7.
Okay.
Anyways. We came across all these houses with all of these signs on them that said closed by order of the government or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for the airport. And we're like, airport? So we did see them.
Mm-hmm.
But That's got to be years ago, years and years ago. We've never actually ever seen an airport there.
If you go to the area where I was looking, it's just around Uxbridge, so it is just around Highway 7.
This was a number of years ago. I was still...
I can give you this. It was June of 1971.
Okay, there you go. Like when these houses are derelict at best, but they're all
there, and they were closed.
Well, they're all there. They're closed. They got signs saying "Do not trespass." Yada yada.
5 years ago.
Where is that place? I wonder now.
Five years ago.
It was we eerie. Drove,
I was showing Mary coming back from up north, and we came down through countryside, kind of like the road you were talking about traveling on. And we got to Uxbridge, and I said, "Oh, you have to come and see this. I'll show you where the house was that I was looking at in the farm." And right next
this
to
was
that
before
old farm,
Mary?
Yes.
Oh.
And
we may not have been having this conversation if...
probably not. If I had done that, I'd still be behind the tail of a cow. I was just thinking about it because 5 years ago we were driving through the area and we drove along the road from the little town of Uxbridge, which is now a big area of houses, all houses. The farm that I was looking at that they wouldn't sell to us because, you know, nobody could take it because there was an airport coming in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now there's a whole pile of houses.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there is.
So some developer friend of high-level politicians, maybe. I have no idea. It just didn't make sense to me. Anyway, hey, speaking of being outdoors, like you just talked about there, I had a chance to talk with Kristen Buckley.
Okay.
Yeah. And Dr. Buckley and I had a bit of time to chat and came up with, you know, she did the two winter segments for us, being outdoors and what you can do. And this is by request for Melissa and Daryl. And they have been listening and want to know more about ideas that they could take with their kids when they go out and do activities in the different seasons. So this is the first of two for our spring season with Kristen.
Okay.
You ready?
Sure.
All right. And then after that, I got a great song just to follow it. We have a special guest back in our studio here at CFRC and Dr. Kristen Buckley. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. It's nice to be back.
And this springtime is... Well, it's nice in one way because you can see all the work you have to do on the yard.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk mainly about trees and ideas for our listeners to go out for a hike or walk in a forest or in a park where you have trees and just sort of appreciate trees in a different way.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to do it because all the leaves are just starting to bud now.
Oh, that's the other part. Yes, we can identify a tree by its shape when it's got summertime full covering, or when it's in the winter when it's just a skeleton. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Where do we start then? If I'm thinking about going out into the park or the forest or some area along a trail, looking at what trees might be around me.
Yeah, well, I think right now it's mostly the bark that you're going to notice on a tree. So to tell what is around you, that's probably going to be the primary identifier until the leaves start coming out a little bit more. But I'm looking out the window and I can see buds coming out there. I think that's a maple tree in your front yard. Yeah. And I'm actually looking at the shape of that to help identify it because the leaves aren't out enough. And I can't quite tell from the bark, but if I look at the overall shape, I can tell it's a maple tree. So I'm kind of putting more than one identifier together as best I can to tell what's around me. So I go out to the same trail quite often, so I know which trees are there and I can practice looking at the different identifiers to tell what they are. But if you're going to go somewhere new, then you're going to have to try really hard to figure it out.
Right. Okay, so there's the good thing to think about right away is to use the same sort of trail that you go on or a path that you're going to go. You know, even walking down the side roads or, you know, in the park, just walking. You know, some parks have campsites Mm-hmm. So you can just walk on the road around and just observe it if you go to the same campsite all the time.
Yeah, so I've been looking at identifying ash trees because we have some on the property. So I know where some of them are, and so I'll go through and I'll try and find another one, and then another one, and then another one. So it's practice identifying the trees. So I don't just instantly go out and know every tree I look at, but I kind of know what trees are in the area, and then I practice identifying them as I go.
So you would do, so you're talking about ash trees, but if somebody is a little further north, say up around Elbow Lake, I know that they have shagbark hickory trees. Mm-hmm. So they may focus on that one for right. a whole year, going through the different seasons.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. That's how I've been practicing. We have shagbark hickory, black cherry, ash trees, ironwood trees, maples, all in the same sort of grove. And so I've been looking at the different barks, the pattern in the barks. This time of year, I'll be looking at the leaves coming out and the seeds that are on them. And so I'm quite interested this year in the ironwood seed because I know what the bark looks like and this sort of overall shape of the tree. But when the leaves start coming out and I start walking through the woods, I'm going to be trying to identify the ironwoods by their seeds. So I think each season gives us a chance to practice different identifiers. So the winter, it's been all bark and shape. And now I'll be trying to identify the trees by their seeds and leaves.
So what do you look for in ironwood seeds?
Well, I think they're kind of a whitish shade and almost like a bunch of bananas, you know, the way that they hang. The seeds all sort of hang together in a cluster. Maybe a bit of an oval shape to them. I haven't seen them up close in a while. I think there may be a soft texture. Mm. So I'll be determining that when I go out and look for them.
Let's hope people listening to this are going to do the same thing. Go out and find ironwood seeds and mm-hmm. tell us what color they are and how they are. Are they really hard on the outside or soft, you said? Mm-hmm. Comparing it to other types of nuts that you have in the area, like yeah. hickory nuts and shagbark hickory. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you have any chestnut trees there, but the black walnut. Oh, mm-hmm. Don't tell people you have black walnut. I'll be looking for the trunk to take away.
Right. Well, I think it's important to also just remind listeners that we don't have to know what they look like. We don't necessarily need an app or a book. We can make our own observations, and that's how I've been learning because there's so much joy in that for me. To just go and make my own observations and my own sort of notes in my mind about what to look for. So with the ash tree, a lot of people know what ash trees look like. And I have worked with lumber before from ash trees. But it was important for me to be able to make my own notes about the bark pattern. And then I can recognize that in the next tree that I see, you know. So just to go out and make their own observations, like you said, whether it's soft or hard or, you know, what color it is, and just make a note, you know, write it down, you know, stick it in your memory, and then practice that next time you go out and see if you can find that same identifier next time you go out. So it's just fun.
And also, as you get an appreciation for the one tree and what seeds are or the nuts are, mm-hmm. then you can then start to do comparisons with other trees?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it. I know that sort of early winter, I was really focused on the black cherry bark, and then it became very easy for me to identify those trees. So then I moved on to what the ash trees looks like, and in the spring it'll be with the ironwood. So it's not that we have to learn it all at the same time. You know, you can pick your tree, get to know it, and then, you know, learn another one and compare the differences. It's all about just learning and observing and,
And one of the things I thought about was taking field notes. And because they don't have to be detailed. They may be a little sketch or a couple of words that go with it, and you know, maybe even collect one or two of the seeds, leave the rest for the other animals out there. But you know, keeping a field note, then what do you do with it when you come back home?
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. I know everyone takes notes differently, and I have one son that takes all his notes in drawings. So that's a good way to do it. I like to collect things as well. And so you could even like tape a leaf or tape, you know, some seeds into a little notebook and add some notes beside it. Yeah, I guess what you do with that at home is going to be personal preference. But I would like to sort of review my notes before going back out. Oh, okay. You know?
Yeah. So that's a good reason to have your field notes. And then just put them in a folder, or do you sort them out, or whatever individual person wants to do with it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe people could write into us here at Aboriginal Voices and say, here's what we're doing with it. And,
yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay. How do they do that? Somebody asked me once, where do we write? And I said, okay, Aboriginal Voices, it's all one word that you're going to put in the text or the email address. Aboriginal Voices at CFRC.ca. So CFRC is the radio station, and Canada is the CA. Great. We're looking forward to people sending in information for us.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting ideas from that.
Now, you've talked all about deciduous trees there.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other type?
Yeah, the coniferous trees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have seeds and identifiers as well that are going to be coming out. So I would talk maybe about the cedar trees first, because the red cedars and white cedars are a fair bit different from each other look-wise. So they have scaly needles, but the white cedar is more flat and I would call it a little bit softer, whereas the red cedar, it's spiky. And the red cedar has the smallest seeds of all trees. So the cones are very, very, very tiny. And the white cedar trees are about a nut size, like a small, I don't know, maybe peanut size. And then the female, at least the red cedars, I'm not sure if the white cedars do it, have a like a blueberry on it. So there's you can identify the female red cedars from the male red cedars. So that's fun to go out and you can just be like, this one is a male cedar, this one's a female cedar, based on whether it has a tiny cone or a blueberry. So that's something that listeners can go out and look for, even if they have cedar in their yard or along the side of the road, to go out and just identify them.
Everybody knows the scent of a cedar tree.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is just sort of snap off a little bit of the needles and you'll get that recognizable scent of cedar.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I gather that there are some insects that just don't like that scent.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because people put cedar in their clothing.
Yes.
And that, yeah,
cedar chests and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I built one of those chests once before for the kids, right? We called it a hopeless chest. the other cedar trees, or the other coniferous trees that you find out and around, you know, we have pines and spruce in those categories. What other ones, where would you put a tamarack, for example?
A tamarack are sort of traditionally northern Ontario. They like sort of the wetlands up there. Mm-hmm. There are definitely some in this area that I've seen. People must have probably planted them. They really like wet soil. But you can tell those because their needles actually turn color in the fall. And I think they drop? I think some of them drop off, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And their cones are, I think they look like little wooden flowers.
Mm.
So they're really pretty. But their needles also grow in clusters or bunches. So it's a bit different from a spruce that would have like a singular needle coming out of one spot. The tamarack would have a cluster of needles coming out of the same spot. So those are some differences you can look for there.
Yeah, I like the color in the fall, like sort of early fall when all the other leaves are coming off the trees, the maple trees and the oaks, and maybe not the beech trees, but anyway. When you drive north and you see through the woods, you see this sort of pea soup color, and those are the tamaracks. Yeah,
right.
They're pretty. So then what about the pine trees? You know, we've seen a lot of different types of pine growing around in southern Ontario.
Right.
And do you take the cones and then test out to see how many seeds are in them or what shapes they are? Or?
I haven't looked too much into the seeds of the pine trees, but the shapes are... I mean, it's a tradition. It's sort of that traditional cone when you think of a cone. It's usually a pine cone. And the white pine cones are fairly long, and the red pine cones are the, sort of the short, stubby ones. And to tell the difference, I just think of the word white. It's longer, and the word red is shorter. And the needles of the pine trees are that way as well. So the white pine needles are sort of softer, longer, and the red pine needles are short and sort of stronger.
And the nice part about all these coniferous trees, except the tamarack, is that we can see them in any season, right? We can go and study them, and and the cones will be around, unless the squirrels and the chipmunks and the other animals that come and take the seeds away.
Yeah.
They're still lying on the forest floor.
Yeah, it's always sort of secondary for me when I see a pine tree to identify it by the needles, and then I immediately look sort of underneath it for a cone to see whether it's... And the white pine is the tallest coniferous tree that grows here in Canada. And so if you've seen a really tall, really old white pine tree, the cones are also... enormous, you know, so they grow as the tree grows. So if you find a really big pine cone, it's probably from a white pine tree. And some other, I know we have jack pine around here. I haven't learned necessarily that shape or needle very well, but I know their cone has got a bit of a curve in it, and I think it looks like a J for jack pine. And then we have a pitch pine, which looks a bit like a red pine, but it's sort of really scraggly. So that's something I look for as well.
I'm going to have to go searching for a pitch pine, but I know that the pitch pine sap, you might call it, was used by in the 1700s-1800s for shipbuilding and maintaining ships and that sort of thing.
Oh wow!
You know, with buckets and that, because some of the pitch pine was used also in making. Birch bark canoes,
right?
Because it would seal up the areas where they overlap.
Right. Well, I know that I moved the location of my tent trailer from where it used to sit under the pine tree because all of the sap that dripped onto it was very hard to clean at the end of the season. So I no longer put my tent trailer under that.
So people can come and look at the maybe that's one of those pitch pines. Or is it just...
I think it's a white pine, but it's just, you know, windy days and needles fall from it and, you know, however it gets sticky. Yeah.
So if someone's going to spend a bit of time going out in the next couple of weeks, this is early May, so we have some time to kind of go out and see a tree as it changes day to day. You know, the deciduous trees are now... not all of them, budding and leaf growth. Some of our big maples around are just, they're a soft green color, right?
Yes.
It's very light green, but boy, oh boy, is it ever filling in quickly.
It is, yeah.
So what would you suggest that families could do to go out and everybody in the group find something to look at first and start their data collection as they go and observe?
I think the maple trees is actually a good place to start because we have several native maple trees here in Ontario. And I think the red maple, it has a smaller leaf, and I believe the seeds have a red tint to them. And then we have the silver maple, which will be coming out. And the sugar maple, their seeds don't come out until fall. So if you see a sugar maple that and it doesn't have seeds, well, then you'll know it's a sugar maple. So I think those are three good maples to look at and try to maybe tell the difference between.
Okay, so that's going to be an opportunity for us to do with families and friends, go hiking and try. We'll start with that and see.
Yeah.
And get some great ideas from the kids who go out and do this with us.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Kristen, thank you very much. I appreciate all of this. Last word to you before we go off hiking.
I don't know. I just guess I would say get outside because it's beautiful outside and it's those leaves grow really fast. So get out there and see them bloom.
Great. Take care now.
Bye.
Thank you.
had me from that first drink. When the wine made my cheeks flush a crimson pink, you know I gave into the sparkle in your eyes with that whiskey kiss and your come hither smile. So when I was persuaded we had something more rare and more extraordinary than simple exclusivity, I started to feel it and to know it and see you on was laid out for me. Oh, the devil looked me in the eye. He told me all of his tricks. He shared
keep on turning down and burning out and turning out the shame. So put me on a highway, show me a sign, and take it to the limit one more time. Can spend all your time making money, or you can spend all your life making time. But if it all fell to pieces tomorrow, would you still be mine?
The dice on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with CFRC's Radio Roulette. Every week we get a new randomly generated playlist courtesy of the Online Digital Media Library. We let fate decide and the host must abide. So I hope you'll join me on this journey through genres, time, and taste each and every single Saturday at 11 p.m.
Well, there you go. A little bit of what's happening here around here at CFRC on the weekends. Yeah, you got to wait till the weekend. This is only Tuesday night. And we were just listening to Kaylee Cardinal. She's from the Western Canada area. We're not quite sure how far past the prairies, but I think she is from the prairies. But first, the Ticket to the Limit was a cover song that she did. You could get a sense of her voice. And the one before that is The Devil is a Blue-Eyed Man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm not sure about that. Anyway. And before that, we heard right after we had Kristen tell us a little bit about being outdoors and looking at trees, we had Susan Aglukark singing Shamaya. I hope you enjoyed that one.
I did.
That was... Quite nice. And earlier on, we had Tara Williamson's song,